The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Experience lightning fast speeds and Sky's best ever Wi-Fi all around your home.
On the cusp at 9:30 this Monday morning, and I had the pleasure of watching a documentary this morning before we came in, because it's short enough, called Kin of Queens, which you'll be able to see on the player a little later on. And this tells the story of what's essentially a Cork-based drag family called Mucky Ya, and the house mother, we'll explain all these terms in a moment, is Candy Warhol, who joins us this morning. Candy, good morning.
Hello,
good to see you.
Hello, how are you?
We have met before.
We have. I was just saying, I can't believe that was 4 years ago, how times changed so fast.
It was amazing because when I was a kid, British TV was full of characters like your relative, Danny LaRue, who was essentially a drag artist. I think probably the first I would have ever seen.
I always say RuPaul before RuPaul.
That's a very good way of putting it.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I think about that, and we'll come on to all of your story in a moment, but was he ahead of his time, do you think?
Completely.
Yeah.
That was the time of Liberace, and you know, and also that was the time as well, when you think back, homosexuality was illegal. So they would have said, oh, it's just an act, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I remember Liberace sued the press because they said they essentially outed him. But it was just family entertainment. Like straight couples essentially loved him.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, it was a strange. And the British, I always felt, loved drag. Always. Any opportunity, they were jumping into a dress.
Yeah, yeah.
And you wonder, I don't know if it's the same here. Culturally, I wasn't sure if it was the same here.
I think we have a strong history of drag, but you're completely right. Like, British culture was way ahead of us,
yeah.
I think. If you think back to, like, maybe when Mr. Pussy was growing up here, was that the 70s or 80s?
Mostly 80s, I think.
Yeah, I think people were confused at starting. People sometimes are more confused, but not in the way they were back then. But yeah, I still sometimes I'm at old theatres in London or the UK, and I'll see his posters, and I'm like, this is, I find it mind blowing.
I bet.
That he just had so many sellout tours and still so many fans. Like, I don't think that can happen again. Personally.
And he was your
great-granduncle on my granddad's side.
Okay, so close. It's not a distant relative to speak of. So all the more cosmic that here we are with you. Will you describe to everybody what you're wearing today? I mean, you've got this big blonde
kind of 60s updo. Actually, a little bit inspired by one of Danny LaRue's looks, and then a pop art yellow 60s dress. I mean, just what you would wear on a Monday morning at RTE with Ryan Tuberty.
Yeah, yeah. What else would you wear when you're coming in?
What else would you wear?
Going in to see this guy. I know what I'll do. I'll go full Dusty Springfield.
Oh, I love it.
Is that okay?
And look, you're waking people up on the way to work.
Yeah.
You're cheering people up. Even standing outside waiting to come in and, you know, all your colleagues coming in. I love, like, seeing people smile.
What do people say when they, or react when they see you like that?
I mean, understandably a little bit shocked, and then it'll either go to like really happy and, oh my god, you look amazing, you look great, can I take a photo, which is always really nice.
Yeah.
And understandably then some people might be a bit freaked out because you don't essentially see a 7 foot cartoon woman on the way to work.
What height are you in your heels?
I mean, I'm 6'2" normally, and these are 8 inches. I actually just said when I came in, why am I wearing heels on the radio?
Yeah.
But perfectionist.
But I bet it's like when you know when I put on a suit on a Friday night to do the Late Late Show,
it's
armor, right? You know. So when you were coming in this morning to talk to us as Candy Warhol, if you came in your jeans and t-shirt, whatever,
wouldn't feel the same.
I bet.
Yeah, wouldn't feel the same at all. Yeah, and that's hard to explain to some people. It's not like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde where the wig goes on and I turn into somebody else, but you just said it perfectly. It's like an armor, gives you more confidence, and you also feel more in character because you're feeding off like a performance, like you're the same.
Yes.
You feed off an audience, right?
Yeah.
So it's like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
This documentary is a gorgeous sort of sketch on the world you inhabit.
Mm.
And would you kind of explain to me how the crew works? Because you know, I was saying to you before you came on air, you're traveling around in a camper van.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like a kind of a trippy Scooby-Doo episode.
Love it.
Okay, does that make sense?
I love it. Yeah, that's perfect.
Even your dress today now would say that wouldn't be out of place on Daphne or one of the.
Yeah.
Anyway, you're in this van. How does it work? Because there's a hierarchy of sorts.
I mean, usually, drag houses date back to like the 60s when ballroom started in New York. But so there's always, you know, a house mother and, you know, kind of, like you said, a hierarchy. But I think because I'd been working in drag it's almost 11 years now, I never wanted there to be essentially a hierarchy or, you know, a vibe of one queen is better than the other. So with Mucky Ya, from day one, when we started 4 years ago, it was everyone is at the same playing field. You know, no kind of bad behavior backstage. We're all having a laugh because I just really want all the performers to have so much fun, and I want the audiences to have fun because you know what it's like. Drag queens have a bitchy stereotype. You know, the queen that picks you out in the audience and makes fun of you. We don't do that at Mocky Out. Okay. We incorporate everybody. So yeah, what you're essentially going to see in the documentary is myself and 4 out of 10 of the other queens on a little road trip. So we finished our show in Cork, and then we head on down to Tralee, because we started over the last year or two bringing it outside of Cork to places like Dublin, Galway, Tralee, which is really exciting to bring it to other towns that might not have that.
And you're the house, and when you say house, it's like German house, is it? H-A-U-S.
Yeah, like H-A-U-S, yeah.
So it's kind of probably has that bohemian sort of feel to it in any sense. You're the house mother. Is that what you described that? So this now feels like we're in a convent, you know. But you're the mother and superior. So how does the house mother relate to the others in terms of?
It's essentially like being a normal mother without any of the child benefits. So I don't get anything from the government. But it's basically like, imagine if you were starting out and you'd have a mentor. And then you have a protege. So you're just teaching them the different tips and tricks that you've learned over the years. And then when it comes to me with Mocky Out, I produce, manage the shows. So I would do everything from marketing to producing it, to making sure everyone's out on time, getting us that next gig, hosting the show, and then making sure everyone is on point.
Sounds stressful.
It is.
So you're a producer, manager, counsellor, psychiatrist.
Completely. I think when you're a drag queen, you have to do everything.
Everything. Do you get nervous being a drag queen out and about? Would you?
Won't lie, I would, and I think it depends on the location, and it also depends on who you're with. So if I'm on the way to a gig, I know that once I enter, you know, like a safe queer space, it's going to be nothing but love and fun. But you never know what's going to happen from leaving your house, getting in a cab or walking down the street, because you know what it's like. It only takes one person to say something to you that might throw you off.
Did you get a taxi in here this morning?
I did. Okay. And you know what?
Did you come alone?
No, I didn't. And I did. My lovely friend Erica, who's upstairs, came with me, because if I'm in a new city, or if I'm, you know, I've never gotten a taxi here before, I will just say to a friend, oh, if you want to come. Mm. You know, if I had to this morning, I would have done it alone. And I've done it in far worse places than getting a taxi to RTE. Yeah. You know, I've gotten on a tube and, you know, in London and gotten to a club on my own. You know,
In full drag.
But then you're in somewhere like London, where it's such a cultural melting pot where you will see queens on the tube. So it just depends. But personally, I don't like to take that risk. So I like to be with people.
I know that one of the things I liked about the program as well was we saw the crew, and I'm thinking it's like a Tarantino movie, you know, with the gang heading off like a crack squad heading down to Tralee
of all places,
with you know, all feathers and hair and heels flying, but in a good way. The pictures of you all as young children I thought were very striking,
really,
because when you're 3 or 4 and you're on your parents' knee, or you're playing with the ball or whatever, you know, I was watching going, little do you know, as a parent, or indeed as a child, where the road will end up. And the next thing I see, you're on stage and you're doing, you might be a lip sync or just a bit of banter with the crowd. Is being a drag queen difficult on the parents initially?
Yes. I just don't think there's any, you know, getting around that. I would imagine as a parent, a stereotypical Irish parent, you know, they're going to go to school, they're going to go to college, they're going to get married, they're going to work in a bank. Hi, mom, I'm actually going to dress up as a cartoon woman and go on stage to make people laugh. I can't, get upset at any parent for kind of going, that's weird, that's different, I'm shocked. So for my parents initially in the beginning, it was quite tough, because it's weird. I can admit it's strange and it's weird. But I have to say, over the years, they've become so supportive and loving. And now we're at the point where I'll walk down and my mom will critique a look. My dad will bring me to a gig, and you can't ask for more than that.
Because a lot of people, like we talked in years, I think we're still talking about it, where people have to come out to their parents as being gay.
Of course.
And then
it's like a second coming out.
I was going to say.
It's like a second coming out.
You thought that was interesting?
Oh, well, get ready. Buckle up, baby. Here we go.
Double down. I'm going for it, you know. That must have been,
It was completely weird. And you know what as well? When you're for me, I started drag just before RuPaul's Drag Race came out. So the only drag I'd really seen was the Alternative Miss Ireland on RT2. Mm. And I was like, what is this? This is amazing. And then I saw Dani LaRue when I was really young. And so that was my influence. So when I was starting, I didn't really go into it going, I'm a drag queen. So I was still figuring it out too, while my parents were going, what the hell are you doing? You know?
Are there any straight drag queens?
Yes.
That you know of? And would there be many? Or
Not in my gang, but definitely in America. And there's an incredible drag house in London called Sink the Pink, where everyone is involved. I don't think. And there's loads of straight people in that. Whereas with Macchiato, actually, you know what? We've had boyfriends of girlfriends come along and dress up and get into group numbers. And again, I just love to see that, because there's something at Macchiato that we specifically don't house the shows in specifically gay bars or queer spaces. I like going to an old man's pub and throwing a drag show.
I'm fascinated to know how that would.
It usually goes down really, really well. Yeah. You know, there's a time where we started now, we're in much bigger venues now, but when we first started, we were in a tiny little pub called the Poor Relation in Cork, and you would have a string of old men having their Guinness and then 60 or 80 people dressed up like crazy people. Yeah, and like of all ages, all genders, like all sexuality. Like just all dancing around the place to like a Madonna song. And I think that's fabulous, because everyone's having a great time.
Why do you do it? Like, when you were getting ready this morning, I don't know what time you had.
I got up at like 4:45 and I said it to my friend while she was half asleep. There's moments where I think, I have such a weird life. Yeah. I'm about to dress up. Like, but the second I start doing the makeup, and the second, more importantly, when I'm sitting here talking with you, I just enjoy it so much. Like, I just love making people laugh and smile, and it makes me laugh and smile.
Yeah. And putting all the gear on and getting it together as part of the ceremony and part of what you do.
I mean, for every drag artist is different, but for me, it's I'm styling the hair, I'm making the outfit, I'm doing my makeup, and that's like doing a sketch to an artist, and then you're bringing it to life. So there's so much that goes into it that I find, like, as an artist, just so enjoyable.
It's like, why would somebody play rugby or tennis or football?
I don't understand them and I don't judge them. Okay,
that's fair enough. And I hope that works both ways. I suppose not surprised, but there was when I saw Maud Gone Wrong, another of the squad there. I thought, okay, here's a woman in the middle of this, and I had to do a double take. No, she's a woman, as we know,
biological woman.
Is she still a queen?
Of course she's a queen. Well, Everyone's a queen once they put drag on.
Maud, good morning to you. You're in Cork.
Hi, morning. Maud Gone Wrong, the queen, the real queen speaking.
Thank you very much. Okay. You said there was no bitchiness, and here we go.
No bitchiness. Sorry, is this your one phone call, Maud?
This is the last phone call.
This is my one phone call, and I've gone round it already.
Maud, tell us a bit about yourself. I was a little surprised, because it's all obviously queens as we know them, men dressing as women and what have you. But you, on the other hand, are a woman dressing as a woman. You just get, like, it's like a hyper version of yourself when you get on stage.
Exactly,
but,
that's the way I think of it myself, too.
How did you join the Scooby-Doo squad?
Scooby-Doo Gone Wrong squad. Yeah, Macchia often does, especially when they were setting out first, open mic kind of drag nights. Performance artists can jump up and give things a go, and that's the way I went into it. I had left acting and performing, which I really enjoy, kind of go when I was in college, and I saw this kind of sprout up and thought it was absolutely gas. And was so delighted it was happening in Cork, and felt very lucky to have something as weird happening so close to me. So I jumped up thinking it would be a one-night thing, and here I am riding the coattails of Candy Warhol ever since, you know?
What does the show bring to your life, or what does the experience bring to you?
For me, it's just a great outlet, as all good hobbies can be, all good passions can be, but a way for me to completely delve into the kooky fashionista, sometimes bitchy, as you suggested yourself, aspect of my personality without any inhibition, with just letting go of inhibitions and completely getting into the character, enjoying the Irish pop culture skits. These are the things I find funny day to day, makes me delve into them, leave them there, and make me completely neutral and professional in the rest of my life, you know. So it benefits me in all ways, I think.
Do you have another job to speak
of? I'm a manager of a preschool, so many people think there's a very similar set of skills I use day to day, checking on the queens and checking on the kiddies, you know.
What a different but largely, what
you need a good sense of humor for both, I think, you know.
I'd say very much so. And do you get a kick out of being on stage then, when you're out doing your You're strutting your stuff.
I do. I love it. Yeah, I get a real, real buzz off it. I think anyone who has the cheek to try it is craving that, you know. I love being in skits and performances and dance numbers with the gang, as you call them, with the Maquillage Queens. And I love... It gives you a chance to kind of delve into those random points of Irish pop culture and analyse them and show them off to the crowd. We all have those memories of Nadine Coyle with Linda Martin on that fateful night during Eurostar. We all have those moments of Twink was led on to the Saturday Night Show again. Oh my goodness, you know, and it lets us just all kind of group analyse them as a culture, I think.
Did I see you... lip syncing.
Brendan?
No, do not make unnecessary journeys.
Oh, Theresa Mannion, me and Theresa Mannion.
That's become so iconic.
And I will say, Ryan, as well, we do a Maquillage toy show where she does a brilliant Ryan Tuberty.
I do a fantastic Ryan Tuberty.
We'll have to send you that. Maud, you would love it.
I'm going to cut you off there and say thanks for your time and good luck with that.
I'll tell you,
when you say you do a fantastic Ryan Tuberty, I need to see it and then believe it and then say that's brilliant. But until then, I'm just going to be
okay,
in suspended animation.
Okay. You're quaking in your booth.
I'm now nervous. I'm now nervous. But you know what? There are people listening in this morning who go, do you know what? That drag thing drives me mad. I'd never go to it. It's just not my bag. It'd be like you going to see a football match, and, you know, whatever it might be. What do you say to people who just say, no, just not my bag?
That's totally fine. It's not for you.
More power to them.
Yeah.
See you later.
And but you think they should have a go or have a look at it?
I think so. But also at the same time, wouldn't it be such a boring world if we're all going to the same thing, watching the same thing, acting the same thing? I'd be driven demented. Mm-hmm. But go to it and it's a laugh. And honestly, isn't that what life is about? If you can't have a laugh, what are you doing?
There's a lovely warmth to your gang in Maquillage where... there's the very young fella, young queen, who's starting out, but you're minding him like a duckling.
Yeah.
And then there's the other guys, forgive me about the names, but yeah. You saw
so Crystal is the young one, and then the other two in the documentary, Letitia and Nettles.
And I think Letitia's the weightlifter.
Yeah, she is.
With the nails on.
Yeah.
And then in full drag and plus size and proud of it.
Yeah.
And everyone brings something completely different.
It's a lovely kind of love.
Yeah. Everyone gets a go.
Completely. Yeah,
and I think everyone's outside life kind of influences their drag as well and adds another string to Maquillage's bow, I think, too, doesn't it, Candy? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that was always a thing with Maquillage because of things like RuPaul's Drag Race have made drag so big now that it's easy to go on Instagram and see a look and it's maybe too influential. So with us, it's like, let's look at that, but let's look at other things. Let's look at the Nadine. Let's look at, you know, cartoon characters.
Let's look at the
different
toy show. Why don't you do that too? You should. Yeah. Maud, I've got the
endless inspiration.
With inspiration,
Theresa
Mannion, what more do you need? Instagram.
I tell you what, you have a selection box of goodies from which to
choose. Doesn't even need editing. You can just play the clip.
The documentary is called Kin of Queens. That's going to be on the RTÉ Player from this evening, and you all acquitted yourself wonderfully on it. Maud, it's been lovely to talk to you. I wish you well. And Candy, it's great to see you again.
Thank you so much, my love.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming in
us.
To see us and for being on, and well done on getting involved in the programme. It is part of the Dockland series, available from June 25th, I think it is, on the RTÉ Player as part of Virtual Pride, which is happening all around the place. So we'll have to put photographs now up on Instagram and Twitter and what have you, because people need to see you to believe you. Candy, thanks for your time.
Thank you so much, Ryan.
It's 12 minutes to 10.